You know, RuPaul's been saying something, has been saying this frequently on season 14. She's like, I just want your pussy to be on fire.
You should get that checked.
And I'm like, all of UK versus the world, that is on fire. Like, it's just a pleasure to watch them breathe. They could actually not compete and it could just be a reality show. You could like trap them like in a house and it would be a good TV. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They could do drag like half the time, right? Also,
right.
Can we do that? Can we just do like Celebrity Big Brother, but like with drag queens?
But oh my God. I would love that so I don't watch Big Brother, but I would watch that.
Oh my God, you're right.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert charged with the task of talking about queer culture and drag race around the world. We're going to keep it cute, we're going to keep it shady, but always real. So grab a snack, come on back, and let's get into those whispering hunties.
Oh my God, is that Jaren and Miss Vanity Love? Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Welcome to Whispering Hunties. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm doing really well.
Or how are you folks? Sorry, how are you folks? Yeah.
Let's make it non-gender.
No, it's hard to do that.
I need to get on this inclusive language because this is the world that we live in. And like, honestly, like, you know, I don't want to misgender anyone.
It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad that I finally got Miss Vanity Love and Jaren because you two are elusive.
What do you mean elusive?
Ooh, how do you, well, flaky?
No, it just means that you're very busy, and so it's hard to narrow you down.
That's true.
So, obviously, this is an international episode. We have Amsterdam, we have... Jaren, where in the world are you right now?
I am in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, we have Utah.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is what Whispering Hunty is good at. We are an international podcast. We talk about queer spaces all over the world. And this is what we do.
I love that.
I love that. That's so amazing.
Okay, so Miss Vanity, let's start with you. So you're Brazilian?
Yeah, I'm Brazilian Dutch. So I was born in Brazil, lived there. Like, I lived all over the place, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, until I was three, I was in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. Then I went to London for 4 years. So until I was seven, got back to Brazil, and then went. And then after 17, I just went away and never come back. And now I'm here in Amsterdam, living the life, living the dream.
That is so funny. You're like, until I was three, I was in the Amazon, just like hanging with Mowgli.
That's super casual.
Mowgli's Indian, but anyway. Yeah. You were just like in the trees, swinging.
Yeah, swinging in the trees, and now I'm swinging elsewhere.
Oh,
that's how you grow.
Yeah, you are definitely swinging. So you moved to Holland and learned Dutch at 17?
Okay, long story short, essentially, when I was 17, I wanted to go abroad again. So first I went to London again, where I did my high school. And then after that, I felt like, okay, I just really live for cosmopolitan, multicultural environments. So I felt like the Netherlands was the next best choice and option. So I went to do my studies here. I went to The Hague, and I lived there for 3 years, graduated, came to Amsterdam to continue my studies, dropped out to teach dance, and then started drag, and the rest is history.
Oh, I didn't know you were a dancer.
I am, but it's mostly I teach like Lindy Hop, swing dancing. So like,
oh my God, I love the Lindy Hop.
Mijan, let's go visit and do a dance class.
Yes.
That is my type of dance. Like, I'm more of a partner dancer. I salsa and I swing.
Yes.
I don't really do like, you know, like jazz and, you know, like ballet.
Yeah.
So,
same. I mean, I do it now because after I was teaching for a while, I kept going back to taking more classes to kind of cross train. So mm-hmm. that I would, you know, just develop overall better body awareness and everything. So, but I mostly like partner dancings are what I love doing.
Oh my God. No. So for anyone that's listening, the Lindy Hop, if you don't know, is a form of swing dancing, but it was popularized by African Americans. And it's this like really, really fun way of doing swing where like you're basically like swinging your partner around.
Yeah, and it's super rhythmical because obviously it really is an African-American
yeah.
jazz dance. So there's yeah. so many rhythms, so many influences.
Yeah.
And it's really, I feel like, a way for people to kind of be free and expressive and connect to another human.
Exactly. I mean, that's what dance is. That's what dance is. So where do you perform in Amsterdam right now? I mean, have you folks opened back up since Omicron?
Yeah. So it was for a while that everything was closed again. I even went back to Brazil to just spend some time with my family because, you know, you couldn't really do anything here anyways.
Yeah.
And we opened up just recently. I'd say like the past 2-3 weeks, everything has been kind of going again, which was hectic. But in a short amount of time, I'm the regular hostess for Bar Rouge in Amsterdam.
Bar Rouge?
Rouge, like it's the word for red. It's like a French word for red. So the thing about the Dutch, they love French stuff. So I was performing there, and then Paradiso, which is like this big venue, which also holds lots of concerts and different things. And then we just did a show today, actually, at Boom Chicago, we just did a show today also at Boom Chicago, which is like this also hub for also comedy stuff, but mainly like theatrical, and a lot of expats go there as well. So it's kind of this beautiful theatrical venue yeah. that we've been organizing shows every now and then. So it was wonderful to do that today.
No, yeah. I'm friends with Nutella Versace, and she does a lot of stuff at Boom Chicago as well.
Oh yeah, she's fantastic. So funny.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. One of the things we love talking about on this podcast are safe queer spaces. What's a space that people don't know about Amsterdam that is a fun place to go and, you know, let your freak flag fly?
The thing about Amsterdam is there are so many, I feel like, queer spaces, but obviously there are some that are more commercialized, some where you can actually really be more kind of free.
Mm-hmm.
One of the spaces that I'm usually like, it's a part of kind of almost my identity at this point, is a place where I started swing dancing and started teaching swing dance when I moved to Amsterdam. And I also did drag shows there. It's called CREA, and it's mm-hmm. associated to the University of Amsterdam. Now, CREA is a space for the arts in general. So it's just kind of this arts center where you can take multiple different types of courses there. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's also a place where it's super inclusive. I've always felt super included about everything when I also was working there for a while as a barista. Mm-hmm. And when I organized the drag, like I organized a drag cabaret there, which was mostly an open stage. And the people were so welcoming, and you really noticed that people needed these kind of safe spaces in that kind mm-hmm. of sense. And other than that, I mean, the traditional club scene would be like, Nix is very, very queer centered and safe. Club Church is more kinky. There's many places, actually. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful here.
I need to go to Nix. I need to go to Club Church because I need to go to church, and I need Jesus in the form of a tall drink of water that will do some awesome things to me.
Exactly. Everybody needs church.
Jaren, I'm so glad that you were on the podcast.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you're finally back on land because
so
you've been traveling the world via cruises and singing.
I sure have. I've been everywhere, girl.
Jaren, you're an actor, you're a writer, you're a singer. What have you not done?
I have never played football successfully. So.
Oh my God, me too. Oh my God! What is football? What are sports? What are sports? No, actually, I do play volleyball, but football, yeah.
Volleyball feels like a queer sport.
I know, it's very queer. okay, so thank God you're on land. So we are privileged to have Jaren on the podcast because Jaren is normally as of late, either on stage or on a cruise ship, like serenading people. And Jaren is also a playwright I don't think you've actually written a play. You've just written songs for like a music.
No, I'm not a playwright. Sometimes I call myself a composer. Most of the time I just call myself a songwriter.
Okay. You are a composer. You're definitely a composer. Maybe you need someone to write the book for your musical.
I definitely need that. I'm working on, I have two musicals technically that are in pre-production, and one of them is with a team of writers who have already written the book, and I'm scoring the music. And then I have another project that Mijan knows about that's just all music that I've done.
Oh my God. Wait, you have another project that you haven't, like, exposed to me? I feel lied to.
Oh my gosh. No, so you are. I do have another project that I haven't told our little writers group about. That's been going on for almost a year.
Okay, Jaren and I are in a writers group, and Jaren is amazingly talented, and also from Salt Lake City. So, how is Salt Lake City, by the way?
Salt Lake City is amazing. If I could live here full time, I would, but there's just so much that I need to do in New York. I mean, there's two sides of that coin. Like, it is a very religious, you know, part of town and mm-hmm. or part of the world, and I grew up super religious. But there's also the other part that's like, I'm a skier and I love trail running and I'm kind of an outdoorsman. So I try to just lean into that part of the Salt Lake City culture. Plus, my sister is here too.
Yeah, I think there's a little something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
This is actually a very interesting question. So what's a safe queer space in Salt Lake City?
You know, Salt Lake is interesting because so many of our spaces convert into queer spaces and then in and out. So there are, you know, totally queer bars. Like the Sun Trap is a classic one. There's a brand new bar called Milk that's amazing. That just barely opened. Like the grand opening was last night.
It was last night. Oh wow. So we're literally converting like in real time.
In real time. I mean, okay. It's always been a big scene. But like there was one space that I was just at the complex where we had like Alan Stone one night and then Miss Cracker the next night. So they do a good job of kind of being inclusive and it's pretty integrated.
Okay.
But the one that I'll pitch is my younger sister who lives here is a drag queen professionally. Her name is Sequoia. She's amazing. Give her a follow on socials.
Your younger friend's sister.
No. She's my younger sibling in blood.
Really?
Is a professional drag queen. Yeah. Here in Salt Lake, and she has a show in Ogden at a restaurant called WB's on the first Sunday of every month, and that's a brand new queer space that she sort of cultivated herself.
You have a queer sibling?
I do, yeah. My younger sibling is a professional drag queen. She's 4 years younger than me.
I've seen this on your Instagram, and I was like, I thought that was just like your friend.
Oh, no. That's my baby sister.
That's amazing. I want queer siblings.
I
am lucky enough to have a lesbian cousin, so okay. You know, it's in the blood,
yeah.
As they say, and you know, I do have to report because one of the things that we did on the podcast where we were kind of tracking like the number of bars that like closed in New York City over the pandemic and how we were like losing queer spaces, and that was like kind of like traumatic.
Yeah,
but I am happy to report that a lot of the bars that closed have now reopened. And then some of the bars that closed have expanded. I'm shooketh. I'm going to organize actually a bar crawl to discover all of the new spaces that have opened since COVID.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
In Hell's Kitchen, which is like the center of gaydom or queerdom. Well, actually, it's more gaydom. It's very cis male in New York City. So Rise is like the northernmost bar of the neighborhood. It's expanded.
Really?
Apparently, they like got the lease for the sushi place that was next door. And then they've made it bigger, which is insane because there's already like a big bar.
Good for them.
Then there was a bar called Industry. And then across the street, there was a bar called Therapy, which was like such a place for drag. Like it was like one of the, it used to have some of the best drag shows.
It was just always Stephanie's Child. I loved them there.
So Therapy closed, but now it's called Hush. So we lost a queer space, but we gained a queer space. I don't know if anyone really likes it though, because no one's talking about it. Then they opened up a new spot called Club Q, which is like four floors. Apparently it's like multi-floored, but they're only like two floors that have bathrooms. So it's like kind of problematic, but like everyone really loves it.
They're so homophobic.
Yeah, I know, right? Because we all need to pee. And then there's a new bar called The Spot. And yeah. I'm just going to say, best name for a bar ever. What?
The Spot. I love her.
Right? Like, it's like, hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to be in the spot. I'm just hanging out.
Sounds like a code name, but it's not.
Right? It does. Yeah. And it's kind of like, Drikniks, you know, like, it's just like, oh, Nix, like, I'm just going to be there, just hanging out, you know, just like, you know, and so, like, I went to the spot this past week after watching Drag Race, and I was just like, it's basically, it's like Rise, but they flipped the plan.
That's so true.
So on in Rise, when you walk in, the bar's on the left. When you go to the spot, the bar's on the right. And it's like the same bar.
The exact same thing.
Yeah, it's owned by the same people, which is like ridiculous. So I just wanted to celebrate the fact that, like, apparently,
I mean, let's go.
Yeah, queer spaces are not dying. There is hope, and
it's also so impressive that, like, the expansion side of things. I'm like, what? Like, during these times, some places have even expanded.
I mean, cool. Yeah, as if in the middle of this, we get a 4-floor like queer space right in Midtown. That's so cool.
I need to go to New York, like, yesterday.
please come. I need to go to Amsterdam, like for real. Please come. We'll have the best time. We'll have fun in three boroughs, because I don't believe in the Bronx or Staten Island. But
I just don't believe in those.
They don't exist, even.
I don't know what that is. I don't even know what you're talking
about.
Yeah, I don't know her. We're not going out there. But Queens can be cute, so we'd like go for like a drink. But like Brooklyn, oh my God.
$3 bill, come on.
Oh my God, I've only been to $3 bill once, and it's like just okay.
Oh, I love it there. They throw the best parties.
So you say. No, it is cute. And actually, there's also a new space, Brooklyn Monarch.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like completely new. I went there last night. It was very queer. It was kind of like a circuit party. That crowd.
I was only in New York once, but it was for Halloween, and it's such a blur.
Oh my God. Such a blur. New York is
so
a blur.
I have no idea.
Yeah, New York.
But it was literally like someone, this guy that I was I met someone in Michigan when I was studying there. And then he was like, yeah, I don't live here. I live in Germany, but I'm going to be in New York for Halloween. And then I was like, oh, I need to go to New York. I just booked the ticket. And then met him in New York. And I was like, what am I doing here? I'm here. Like, what if nothing's coming out of this? It's fine. It's going to be Halloween. I'm going to have a good time. But no, it was actually, he took me everywhere, and I don't know the names of anywhere.
You know what? He took you everywhere.
Ooh.
You know.
He really took me everywhere.
Come through.
Greetings from Chromatica, home of Lady Gaga, liberator of kindness punks, mother of little monsters,
tricon of the ages.
We are her best fans.
With a mission.
To create a podcast celebrating our hero.
Broadcasting straight from Chromatica.
This podcast is about Lady Gaga, for Lady Gaga.
But anyone can listen.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M.
Prove your stupid love.
Ace the art pop quiz.
Put your paws up.
And download the Chromaticast wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us.
Every other Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Pacific.
For our live tapings
at twitch.tv/ApocalypsePodcastNetwork.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time. We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you guys watch, what is this, guys?
I know, it's so hard to get rid of it. It is really hard to get it out of your, yeah.
Y'all, you folk.
Y'all is a good one. Did y'all?
So did y'all watch UK versus the World this week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about it. What are your feelings?
Like, I didn't know that I had, even like not, like being born here, having a Dutch side to me, I didn't know how nationalistic I could get.
Because you're not even from Holland.
Well, here's the thing. My grandparents from my mother's side are Dutch, so I claim that fully. Getting back to the point, Janie is doing really good. Finally, she had her redemption. And I was living for it because I just needed that moment for her. The tea was that no one really made a great outfit, but that aside, it was fine, you know?
A design challenge in All-Stars seems rude because, first of all, these queens of 40 poo themselves, why are you trying to humble them by, like, showing that they can't sew still?
Right. Well, but some of these queens have never had to, like, construct, like, Tyla never had, like, that was, she was just the judge. She never actually had to do the construction. And then Janie never had a sewing challenge, so.
Yeah.
And Janie's was really good.
Apparently they had they had sewing machines, but they just didn't use them or something.
Oh.
What, in Drag Race Holland?
Yeah. They like bought the sewing machine.
The tea one.
Oh, tell us the tea. Tell us the tea.
Okay, rumor has it that one of the contestants that was quite well known, you know, that did really well, she was like talking to production being like, well, you're going to do all of this. Just know that like, it's not really necessary to have a sewing challenge. Like, you can also let the girls shine in other ways. Drag is not about sewing. So they just didn't have one.
Is this Envy Peru?
I'm not saying any names. Rumor has it.
I think this is Envy Peru.
Rumor has it. Well, she they did basically really well, right? Without sewing anything.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, like, because it was weird because in the first season we had these like Patty Pampam and Mama Queen were making the outfits for so many people.
Like they're seamstresses.
And then like you don't even give them a chance to show what they're really, really, really good at.
Poor Patty Pampam came there with her with like fabric and like, you know, measurement tape and was just like, wait, I just have to do my drag? Like, what is this?
But her drag is also creating these things, right? So that was a bit of a shame. But I guess in the second season they try. Yeah, anyways.
I think the real horror of Drag Race Holland is that we didn't get to see Patty Pampam's twin brother come onto the show because they are identical, and it would have been really cool to have like drag twins, you know what I mean? Like, talk about family resemblance.
I've had moments in the city where I was like, oh no, it's not. But that was nice that Patty, sometimes she would dye her hair, so I would know like, oh, the pink haired one is the gay one.
Is the gay one. Yeah. And then the other one is the straight one, and you're like, but they're still really cute and tall, so it's fine. Okay, so I'm here for Janie, actually, because I don't think Janie was robbed, but I do think that she definitely was one of the best drag queens from coming out of Holland in a minute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She is such a talented performer. She's an amazing hostess. And actually, I heard that the first episode, they had to lower the volume of her track, of the lyrics, because they were so raunchy.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah, so the BBC, this is the rumor, right? I'm all about the tea and the rumors. I'm like, girl, give me all the tea.
Tea,
I'm
rumor,
here defending my girl,
honey.
Janie, just saying.
We're here for Janie, yeah.
I must say I enjoyed the episode. And what did you think, Jaren?
This episode in particular, standout moment for me was Bag of Chips saying, I'm a big fat cat and I'm getting that money. Oh. I almost threw my computer on the floor. She is so fucking funny.
Baga is such a joy. Such a joy. The things that come out of Baga's mouth.
Oh my God.
She's perfect television. Even in the first episode, like the first episode, I know we're not talking about it, but even like that whole tea conversation.
Yeah.
And she's just creating the television show. Ugh.
Oh my gosh. I love when someone's good at the confessionals. That's like my favorite part.
These queens are just they're just so seasoned. Like it's just more entertaining. Like they just are themselves. And, you know, RuPaul's been saying something, has been saying this frequently on season 14. She's like, I just want your pussy to be on fire.
You should get that checked.
And I'm like, all of UK versus the world, that is on fire. Like it's just a pleasure to watch them breathe. They could actually not compete and it could just be a reality show. You could like trap them like in a house and it would be good TV. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They could do drag like half the time, right? Also,
right.
Can we do that? Can we just do like Celebrity Big Brother, but like with drag queens?
But oh my God, I would love that. So I don't watch Big Brother, but I would watch that.
Oh my God, you're right. Okay.
The mess that it would be. Oh my God. Okay, so it would be so messy.
What did you think about the lip sync?
Ms. Vanity, I'll let you start.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it was okay. I really, really enjoyed seeing Janie do Janie. And this is what I really enjoyed. So she changed her outfit, right? And the outfit that she was wearing is something that you would see at a Janie show.
Oh,
so
okay.
I just thought it was perfect because she's just showing the world, hey, like, this is my Janie show. Like, this is how I do it. This is with the outfit. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, for me personally, like just seeing that, I was like living for her and I felt she made a great decision and she was so polished. I'm a big Janie fan. Mm-hmm.
I am a huge Janie fan too. I could not take my eyes off of her for the whole lip sync. It was Jimbo, right? It was Janie and Jimbo.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I am also obsessed with Jimbo and I thought that Jimbo like crushed the challenge. Like overall, right. I thought that was the strongest. Showing the biker boobs look. Do you know what I'm talking about? Unbelievable.
So clever.
Unbelievable.
You know what it reminded me of? It was like a camp take on the Mugler biker outfit pairing.
Okay.
I mean, literally, like, that is the reference. So.
It's so cool.
If you don't know, now you know.
That was all good, but I really did love Shay's runways.
Wait, who?
Because she was...
Shay Coulee. Shay Coulee is not on this TV show, so you need to like figure that out.
But I'm still gagged about her runways from the previous season. No,
hey,
oh
that's
my
fair.
God.
That's fair. You mean Monique?
I definitely mean Monique. But now I sound like one of those people, like, oh, it's the Black Queen, and I'm like, no, this is not
no.
Right. This is horrible.
They are,
but
they are
Monique.
Both sickening queens.
But I feel like they both bring that sort of drag, black drag excellence to the TV program. But what she was doing also with the second one of the Butch Queen and bringing that whole ballroom scene look.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I loved it.
I think the other thing that we need to remember is that, like, you know, this is like an all-stars episode. So like people are bringing like real stuff to the runway in a way that, like, you know, like,
well,
we're actually getting like fashion on the runway.
Except for I was a little bit like, I'm kind of getting mad at Jujubee here a little bit.
Jujubee spent like $10 on
her. She did. They were like TJ Maxx. I'm so mad at her.
Yeah, I just have this impression of Jujubee that she got her stardom just being herself and just trusting her vision and doing her stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's just not trending. She's still like, if you take all of her looks and just look at her looks and don't look at the rest of the competition, you're like, oh yeah, this is very Jujubee, but it's not taken to a next level that we need to see. Like, we've seen so much of her. You need to take us to a new dimension, I feel like.
Yeah, it just feels like a lack of effort for some reason, which doesn't really make any sense. True. Because she's incredible.
I know. I actually kind of feel like, not going to lie, I feel like she already had the visa for Queen of the Universe. And they were like,
that's what
all
I was
right.
thinking.
And they just
and
made her
like,
do another
all right,
one.
We're just going to do two.
She has been a busy, busy girl. We do need to give her that.
And yeah. No, I think she already had the visa. She was like there anyway. And we're going to do you gave us the world that might just stay.
That's fair.
I did not even think about that. That is so true.
Like, I think she had all the outfits for Queen of the Universe and she was just like, well, I guess it didn't work out. So we're just going to do another show.
I know, oh my God.
I feel like she filmed Drag Race UK versus the World first because on her confession, she was like, this is the fourth thing that I'm
doing. I know. I actually do think that this was before Queen of the Universe. So I think Queen of the Universe was probably the afterthought, but she didn't. Maybe she bought clothes. And they're better and they're like waiting to be worn. But like,
guess we'll see.
Maybe you'd think like this is for a ball and you're like, okay, well, the first two looks don't even matter anyways.
Thus far, I'm like, I don't know. But I do think that to convince Jujubee to do another drag race, they must guarantee her at least five episodes. Like,
right.
Like, I wouldn't even, I wouldn't even like walk in the door if I was going to be eliminated. And she was safe.
I would love to read those contracts. I would love it.
That is really like the nitty gritty of it all, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that like she probably like doesn't even like sign up for anything. And she's like, how many episodes are we doing? Okay. Is it at least $10,000?
Exactly.
Which I would love to do. Oh my God. $10,000 sounds amazing. Come on. It's really hard to turn from like UK versus the world to season 14 because it's not the same level of drag. And Cornbread is no longer in the building. So, you know, I don't even know.
That's true.
I don't even
so
know.
Depressing.
I don't even know what we're going to do. But that being said, I did enjoy this week's episode because it was another sewing challenge, which I didn't expect. You know what I mean?
Like, so soon.
I love a sewing challenge. Though.
I love a
I'm
sewing
down.
Challenge because it separates the wheat from the chaff, right? Like,
it
I
does.
Think you have
it puts
style.
Everybody under a flame and people lose their minds. It's so fun.
And it's so funny because it like humbles all these drag queens. They come in, they're like, I'm sickening. I'm amazing. I have so much attitude. Wait, I can't sew.
What?
Like, I cannot curate an outfit to save my life. I did enjoy the opening sequence because Michelle Visage famously does not drink. So it's really funny that like they were even like pretending like that she was addicted to something.
Hilarious.
The sleeping pills and shopping.
Yeah, and shopping. But Drag Race at its roots is about creativity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about creating something from nothing, writing your own lyrics, making your own outfit, like, you know, just like creating an experience. And I'm really glad that they chose to go back to the roots. But this was a really rough challenge. Like, I'm sorry, yeah. But like the fashion was barely happening at the end. I mean, Maddie.
LOL.
Maddie.
Oh, wow.
Maddie. I feel like they like let this cis-identifying. I mean, there's a queerness to Maddie because any man that wants to dress up like a woman is like technically queer, but like, you know, whatever you want to identify as. They were like, okay, we're just waiting for you to just turn it on.
Do anything.
Right. Show us really something.
Yeah. And what we got was exactly what Maddie self-identifies as. It's like, okay, I'm straight.
So hopelessly so straight, too.
We got straight fashion, you all. And that was it.
I'm sorry, but there are straight men with fashion sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you would think that a man that wanted to dress up as a woman would have fashion sense.
Oh, my God.
But Maddie has no fashion sense.
And, like,
that is the problem.
Maddie can't move. Like, watching Maddie walk down the runway just makes me want to die. It's so cringy.
It's cringeworthy because this is where we get back to pussy on fire. You need to have your pussy on fire. Right. It needs to be flaming. Right. Like, you can have sex with whoever you want, but you need to swivel those hips, wear those high heels, and just, like, feel your f***ing fantasy. And I'm sorry, but Maddie Morphosis has no rhythm.
But you know what it is? It's like this sort of like, okay, there must be something really strong there for you to do drag, you know? There's no other choice. Yeah. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a drag queen myself. So like, why would you put yourself through that if you don't have some sort of like, hey, there's something that I really need to express out there that is going at a stigma, at the cost of a stigma that you're dealing with from other people. And then you're like, let me express that. But then you're still being shy in the competition? Like, what? This is the space where you can go crazy. Why are you not?
Maddie's clearly, like, smart and, like, funny. Mm-hmm. Like, Maddie has, like, a very specific point of view.
So charming, honestly.
Yeah, the acting challenges and whatnot, like, it's there.
I mean, I feel like if it had been any other straight man, it would have been a train wreck. Like, it's fortunate that he seems like a super sweet guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it maybe also not one of those cases like Trixie Mattel is famous for being very good at like a live show and all of these kind of things. But the first time that she went on Drag Race, you just kind of, it doesn't translate what she does really well.
Yeah,
right?
Because Trixie's kind of basic on Drag Race.
Yeah, like the first one at least, and then she understood the assignment maybe on All Stars. But overall, it's like maybe it's just because Maddie is funny and has a lot going on. But I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know if you watched Untucked. That was not cute.
I did not watch Untucked, but I love a good argument. Yeah. I watched Drag Race in a bar, and so they didn't actually play Untucked for us, which was very rude. So I was in Hell's Kitchen on Friday, and we went to this bar called Flaming Saddles.
Oh, classic.
Flaming Saddles is a really fun bar. But what I love is that, like, Jasmine Kennedy got, like, real pissed because she was in the bottom. But she was also, like, she was also that kind of, like, sassy press. She's like, well, if I'm in the bottom, I'm in the bottom. And I'm just going to, like, f-ing turn it out. I'm going to call that cunt energy.
You know, because
she's like, I'm just going to, like, put this pussy on the f-ing runway and turn it out.
And then she did.
And she did. Okay, we need to break down this lip sync, because I actually think she won in, like, the first 2 seconds of the song when she, like, threw off her shawl. And she just did it, like, so sassily.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, like, it was good. But then I think halfway through, if Maddie had figured out how to lip sync, Maddie might have won.
What do you mean, because, like, how in general to lip sync?
Yeah, in general. Because Maddie was like, after Untucked, I'm really going to turn it out. It's like, ah, sure, you betcha. Something like that. Anyway, but no, Maddie did not turn it out for lip sync. And it was very tragic.
That backwards walk right at the beginning, are you kidding me?
No.
She, like, slowly backs up.
I think Jasmine took it too far.
Yeah.
It could have been good, but, like when she started, like, no one can see what
your
I'm doing.
Hair whip.
I was whipping my head back and forth. Thank you, Willow. But I think she overdanced. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that was, like, a slinky song. Like, that was, like, the type of song where, like, you just, like, you know, you walk around and you just feel your oats. And Jujubee would actually have done this lip sync really well. You just, like, you kind of just, like, you know, you kind of, like, slink. You, like, walk to the back. You, like, touch something. And, like, it's a smooth lip sync. Yeah. And Jasmine was doing everything. You know, like, just
the most.
Like, I was like, girl, slow down. Like, you won. Like, you have it. Like, own it. And I think that's something that she needs to, like, figure out.
Maybe, but the cuntness of it all. I was living.
She knew she was staying. And she was like, and I'm going to show you why 20 times.
And she was like, and you all better be afraid if I'm ever in the bottom again.
Do you feel like you feel that way, Mijan? Maybe because Georges is the other strong dancer of the season and is so tasteful and so artful. Like, there are levels within, like, these real dancing queens. And Georges is, like, the best.
Georges is a better dancer.
That is,
I will
next
say.
Level.
You know, I think the critique that I'm really giving her is, like, as a performer. In the same way that, like, Jasmine, like, sometimes needs to edit what she says, I think she also needs to edit her dancing. There is such a thing as too much.
Yeah.
I guess that's the overall storyline for her, right? Editing. So she needs to edit her outfit, edit her dancing, edit what she says.
Only because she already has it, right? Mm-hmm. If you already have it, like, if you already have, like, you know you move better than that person, you don't need to overmove, right? Like, I mean, Maddie was wearing, like, literally, like, a hoop skirt, you know? And this was a sexy song. So, like, Maddie needed to take that off, first of all, if she wanted to have any chance at the lip sync.
That's probably true. So that probably comes to some of, like, growth to be done as a performer. But on the other hand, I can imagine it's your first lip sync on the bottom. You do not want to, like, have regrets. Like, maybe in her head, she was like, I feel like at one point she was just really having fun. She was like, I'm giving it to you and you're enjoying every second.
And it was good. It was just like, it was still too much though, because it just doesn't, it doesn't come across like, it's like that Coco Chanel thing, you know, it's like before you leave the house, like take one thing off. Right. So it's like with a performance, like, it's like, you want to give them just enough that they know that you can do more. And then you choose your moment to really, like, freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
But it's just for that moment, right? And so I didn't think that they were level. She went from, like, good to, like, 3,000. And then she just stayed at 3,000 for, like, the whole thing. And I was like, no. You gotta make me want more.
But I do see the intention vanity of, like, wanting to give that sort of fighting spirit just to prove, I want to be here. This is my moment. I'm never going to be in the bottom again. Like, I get where she's coming from.
I mean, she will be in the bottom again, but Like, it's going to happen again. We all know this.
She will,
like,
yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Suppose you're also not really seeing what Maddie is doing. Like, I feel like she was tunnel visioned on her performance and everything. I don't know. It didn't give me the impression that she was fully aware of everything that was happening, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think she was at a 3,000% all the time. But also, I can imagine you're like, okay, Maddie did say she was going to lip sync and she has the camp. Like, if Maddie could really give, like, campness, like, bain de la crème.
Yeah. I think Maddie thinks that Maddie is camp, but Maddie is not.
I know.
Camp is hard to execute.
That lip sync was like, I'm really, really trying to be camp. It was just not.
Can we bring back the old shade noises?
So, controversial opinion. I think that Georgia's outfit was lovely.
Oh.
Is it controversial?
I think lovely is the right word. I just didn't think it was the best one.
I mean, it wasn't fancy. It was very little fabric, but I think the way that Georgia's edited it.
It was tasteful.
Was good. I mean, and so we were sitting there and everyone's like, oh my God, it's like so slinky and like whatever. And I was like, but notice that her shoes match the jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is tasteful. You know what I mean? Like, it was like head to toe. It was a look.
Yeah, I totally agree.
She has the editorial mindset, right? She knows, okay, this is it. This is what I need.
And she can sell a garment. Like, put anything on her and you're going to think that it was $1 million outfit.
Yeah, because she just can sell it. It looked expensive. I was like, Beyonce would wear that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or Jennifer Lopez. And I was like, okay, sure, it's simple. You know, it's not a lot of fabric, but it looks expensive. And I was like, look, Georgia's, you may not sew or whatever, but it looked better than some of the other things that we saw on the runway.
Totally.
If you compare it to, like, Carrie Colby's outfit, which was also, like, barely, you know, not a lot of stuff going on. Jared's face was just...
I hated that outfit so much. I love Carrie Colby, though. She's so stunning. Like, who cares? But I hated that dress.
Yeah, but if we compare it, like, Georgia's actually did look better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just such a big fan of Angeria, and that dress was my winner for
Angeria's dress?
Yeah, the black cocktail with the blinds.
I think they're trying to spread the winds because I actually do think that Angeria won the challenge.
I agree.
There was, but like the thing with Angeria, so like I missed the freshness. I missed the freshness. Like, Georgia's one, at least I've never seen something like that before. Mm-hmm. And well, I've seen similar things, but there was an editorial, there was a concept, the star is just that thing. And she just got two fans and that was all she really used, you know, like that really made it feel different. But like to incorporate the things that they get and make something tasteful.
Yeah, I agree with you in a different way. I think Angeria is still too young. Like, Angeria is like a great queen, but like she needs like two more years. And here's why. Because when she walked down the runway in that outfit, she was giving me like Dominique Jackson energy.
Totally, yeah.
Of Pose. And when Dominique walks down the runway, it is a slow grind. It is just like...
She knows what she's doing.
She just knows what she's doing. And she's like, eat it. You like it. Maybe. Like, hi. What's that? And I'm going to do this.
Wow, that was ASMR I left.
I'm going to take my time. And I want you to soak this up from head to toe.
Ooh.
And I want that from Angeria, but she refuses to give it to me. She just like walks down and she's like, And I'm like, Angeria.
She wears the style, but she doesn't know how to sell it fully yet.
She doesn't know how to sell it. And like that outfit was like that energy. Like, it was black and the fans were there and she just needed to like, she just needed to take like half the amount of, like she just needed to take more time and to just let us absorb what she did.
I guess just in terms of construction, there's like Georgia's outfit you can make in 45 minutes, but Angeria's was like to structure a cocktail dress like that and make everything stay in place the way that it did, I think is like just more challenging and shows more expertise.
Especially with the fabric that doesn't stretch.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she added a lot of layering to it. So actually it was a very complex garment.
Totally.
And True. She made it look like, I was like, oh, this is auntie going to church. And so if you have a style of an older, like of an elder, she has elder style. Mm-hmm. You have to walk like an elder. But she totally. Walked like she was, you know, the young person. And like, I was like, girl, you need more time.
Interesting.
Just more time.
Totally.
But I'm a fan of Angeria, and I'm also a fan of Deja, but like Deja was not breaking it this episode. They barely gave her any camera time. And then she walked out there in that Grecian outfit.
That was not it for me. That was really not it for me.
First of all, I think she can do better. I also think it was really funny because like they didn't talk about her outfit until like the very end of the episode. And then she walked down the runway and I was like, oh, that's it?
Hmm. Yeah, it was very simple.
It was very simple. It was too simple. And I was like, and you're the seamstress?
Right. And that's why I was like, Bosco's dress was a lot more, or outfit was more complicated.
This is why I'm like, don't talk about your skills. Don't talk, like, just don't do it.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell me that you can sing. Don't tell me that you can dance. Don't tell me that you can sew until you do it and then be like, oh, I can do that.
Until someone mentions, oh, are you a seamstress? And you're like, actually, I've done this my whole life.
Because if you tell everybody, first of all, you're going to have to help everybody, which is going to eat up all of your time. Then the cameras are on you. You can't surprise anyone.
Remember when Gigi Good said, I can't dance? And then did the Madonna challenge and killed it. And I'm like, that's how I want to do my drag race.
Right?
I'm not that good. Like, whatever. Like, I'm just gonna throw something together. And then
and
you
then
kill
it. And
that is how you should do drag race. But these people come in here talking about how they can do this, they can do that. Or like, they're like, I'm a multifaceted queen. I can do everything. And then they do nothing.
You just go on there and say, I can't do anything.
But that's a funny thing that we've seen now, also this new trend, because like in the beginning, drag queens were all like a lot of, if you go back, it was a lot about this bigger than life projection, this and that. But then we saw Drag Race UK and we get what's her name? That she just was like, I'm another week of me doing mediocre, you know what I mean? And we live for that because it's so endearing.
Oh, and you're talking about Cheryl Hull.
Cheryl Hull, that's it.
Oh, yeah. God bless.
There's a confidence to sometimes like not taking yourself so serious, like downplaying yourself. There's a way to do it in a confident way.
And honestly, I will take mediocre because that's drag, right? Like it's like you don't have to be an expert. You just need to sell it. Like that's it. Like Cheryl Hull is like, look, you know what I'm good at doing? Cheryl Hull. And I'm like, that's what I signed up for. What I didn't sign up for was like Cherry Mugler on the runway. You know, like I'm not going to do that with Cheryl Hull. I'm just going to let her like sit there and talk for like, you know, an hour and I will live. And then do like a sloppy death drop. It's great.
So good. So good.
So y'all, I do like having like, you know, 2 hour long podcast, but like no one will listen to it. But this has been such a joy, such a privilege, such a pleasure to just kiki with you. But on Miss Ring Hunties, we do believe in the fervent and impassioned and dedicated stalking of all our guests in a consensual manner. So where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up, you know, in a consensual manner, online or in person?
You can find me in all the best places, but also online. You can get me at Miss Vanity Love. Because I'm a little bit vain, but I can show you a lot of love, darling.
I am found on all social media platforms at Jaren Barney, and I have links there for some of my other social media stuff. I just started a new business called Nonsense, which makes organic genderless perfume oil, so you can also get linked to that new business page.
Just link it up. Oh, I need some of that.
Can I also share another one of my projects for all any of the geeky ones out there?
Yes,
I do this thing called Queer Arcana. Well, we're currently in a hiatus, but it's basically Dungeons and Drag Queens played on stage live. Okay. And it's a YouTube, it's on YouTube, everything. And you can join and you see our progress. Like it started 2 years ago and it just kept getting better. And they're currently doing the Arcana Lounge. So just chatting about geeky stuff. It's just trying to tap into that intersectionality of geeks and queers. So
I love that.
Thank you so much for being on Whispering Hunties. It is such a privilege and a pleasure.
Thank you, Mijan.
And I love when we get to do an international situation and we can just bond across the ocean, across the waves, across the universe. But honestly, so currently in America, we've decided that COVID is over, but you know, who knows if that's actually the case.
Oh, God.
But I hope that the two of you, who are such talented performers, find many a chance to do that, because, you know, talent is real.
Talent is real. That, as opposed to, what was it, Brooklyn? What did she say? You don't believe in?
No, I don't believe in that.
Oh, no, no. Sorry, I don't believe in Staten Island
or Staten Island. That
yeah.
Was it.
Yeah. Right. Or the Bronx. The Bronx are fine, but I really don't believe in Staten Island.
No. We don't claim her.
Yeah, we don't claim her. She's not invited to the party.
Right.
Oh my God. If anyone's in Staten Island and they're listening to this podcast, I apologize. But you don't exist. No, okay. But that being said, please stay well. Please perform. Yes. Please keep creating wonderful, wonderful art, because that is what you are. You are light on this earth, and we are glad to have you. And until Aww. Next
right
week, guys.
Yes. Bye. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what I love about this is you don't have to actually send me the audio because it's all been recorded.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay.
Stunning.
Thank you so much. Have
Y'all are
a
the
lovely,
best.
Lovely afternoon. It has been so lovely to chat.
Such yes. a treat. Thanks. Oh, good to meet you, Miss Vanity.
Yeah, good to meet you both. Like, have a kiki. This is wonderful. And I'm serious. Yeah. I really want to go back to the States and visit and
Come. Oh, my God.
Mijan, we're going to go Lindy Hop in Amsterdam before that happens.
Okay? Oh, work. Yes.
Oh, my God. And then we can actually Lindy Hop. Oh, my God. Please,
you can
please.
You can be the lead because you're way taller than me.
Actually, it does not matter. And I switch dance as well. So meaning okay. like I lead and follow and change within
oh,
the dance itself.
Yes.
And
come on, versatile.
To do that.
Yes. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's super genderless. Nowadays, yeah. Most places, it's like no one cares.
Amazing.
No one cares.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. Okay, well, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Have a good night, because it's night in Amsterdam. And have a good day in Salt Lake City.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, and any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio clips, are registered trademarks and or copyright to their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.